Well, hello, everyone. I think you know our names by now, but just in case you don't, Jeremy Johnson and
Mike Santos with Trade Secrets Health Insurance Edition.
Trade Secrets for Health Insurance. I need to write that down.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. How about Trade Secrets by the Reverend Jeremy Johnson?
Oh, yeah. He just became a reverend, by the way. He can marry you and bury you, by the way. So
absolutely.
Give the Reverend Johnson a call at 281.
I got to create my vanity plates for, vanity lines for my business cards, 281. I don't know. We'll come up with something
HR
appropriate.
D-Rev.
Call the Rev. Well, my middle name is Ryan Pocket, right? And it does start with an R. So now the middle name actually stands for
Reverend.
Yeah. I've been parking in the hospital, in the clergy spots of the hospital, just because I could. I just stopped by and parked there, waiting for somebody to say something. But nothing's happened yet. So, folks, we wanted to come get with y'all this week to talk about lead generation. Probably the most important things that are the most important thing an insurance broker like yourself needs to have is a plethora of folks to actually talk to. So we just want to get with you and talk about maybe some best practices. How do you get these? It's something I struggled with a long time ago, and how do I get them? When I left my very first employer in the insurance market, it was a local carrier here in Houston. And when I decided to go start my own agency, the whole reality of leads and buying leads like hit me square in the face. I mean, I was so used to being fed those captive style leads that when I had to find somebody to sell to, well, I found out fast I couldn't go stand in the pharmacy and pass out cards or pick on people with certain color hair, you know, in the grocery stores. I had to actually have them asking for the stuff. So Mikey, how do we go about finding these folks for people to talk to?
Well, it depends what product you're trying to sell, because, you know, we know in the Medicare world, especially on the Medicare Advantage side, you know, we're restricted in certain things and marketing tactics that we can and cannot do. If you're selling life insurance or ancillary products, you know, your restrictions are removed, and you're able you can do a little bit more different strategies or techniques, use different strategies or techniques to get in front of people or try to get people to reach out to you. But when we're talking specifically Medicare, you know, one of the old ways of generating a lead is sending a mailer to someone who's turning 65 and letting them know that you can help. And usually you're sending a BRC, which is a business reply card, meaning that the client has, or the potential prospect has, to fill out that card because, yes, they are interested in learning more about their Medicare options because they're in an important time of their life that they're turning 65 and they have to make a decision. If they don't make a decision within the time limit of their 7-month window, 3 months before their 65th birthday month, and then 3 months after their birthday month.
Seven-month window.
Usually people think 7 months before their 65th birthday, but we as trained Medicare sales agents, we know that 7-month window is 3 months before their birth month, and 3 months after. Now, when they fill that card out, they send it, it gets sent back to you, and it's pretty much a permission to contact. So you're able to call them and let them know that, hey, you're here to help them, that, you know, they fill out the card, what questions do they have, and kind of build a rapport and do the fact-finding
Needs analysis,
absolutely. But if they don't fill out that card and don't make that decision, they will get penalized if they don't enroll in a timely manner.
That's correct.
Yeah. So that's the old way of doing
mail. So why did it become the old way?
Because I think the internet wasn't around back then, online advertisements. You know, people would do mail and newspaper ads.
Right.
You know, how many people
look at the
newspaper? Yeah. How many people look at actual physical newspaper these days?
Not that many. I tell you, as an agency, we looked at the cost behind it. Like, the old way of doing it actually cost a lot of money to run because response rates had gotten very low.
Right.
And then when you start looking at – as you develop your career, further your career in the insurance agency, you know, there's experts that kind of pop out of the woodwork every time there's a, a change in the aura, or you know, the sun's bright, shining bright, or Mercury's aligned with Venus, or you know, it was Valentine's on Wednesday. You know, I mean, any type of disruption is going to breed more and more competition, more and more vendors that come through, and depending on who you're talking to or listening to with the numbers, it's like, where do I go to believe what? And I know we've both said it before, is this isn't just something, our industry isn't just something we say, look, here, do it this way and go out and figure it yourself, you know, figure out yourself, I have deals. It is, we actually do it as well.
Correct.
I mean, day in and day out. I mean, both of ourselves, we both have our clients behind us, but we do have our internal call center agents. We have our external field teams, which number into the multiple thousands. So, and we have to show all of these folks the same way. So with mail, it's not dead.
Right.
It's still a very viable thing. But instead of just looking at lead cost, I can buy leads $25. Hey, perfect. Who are you buying from? Let me see if maybe we can help get a discount.
Right.
Or maybe I might want to buy from too. I get leads for $15. Are they shared? How old is the data? I get them for 50 cents.
Right.
How ancient are those? Are they even still alive?
Right.
You know, there's multiple things, but I don't want you to think of lead cost. I want you to think of cost per acquisition, or your sale cost, right? Because a $25 lead may actually cost you several hundred dollars to actually sell when you look at how many you have to buy. So the lower CPA that you have, the better off you are, and we are, through our programs to help you generate those leads. So mail, that's a high intent lead.
Yes.
It's just, it may not be a whole lot of them that are coming through. So can we door knock?
For Medicare Advantage, we cannot
door knock. Yeah.
Now, if you're selling a different product that's not regulated by the federal government, you can, but you want to be very careful about that. You want to make sure that you understand, you know, what the regulations are based on the products that you are trying to promote and sell.
Wow. There's a lot of regulation.
Disclaimer there. Disclaimer, read the book.
You know, when it comes to compliance, you ask him.
Yes.
I've been labeled as, anyway, compliance and I are on a first name basis. But, you know, I like to give people what they need to hear.
Right.
And again, we're talking about the federal government. So it's not broke, don't fix it. What about cold calling, Mikey? Can you cold call?
Not for Medicare Advantage, but if you're selling a different product, then you can cold call for other products. But Medicare Advantage Part C plans, you cannot cold call. You have to have a permission to contact to where you can call outbound. Now, the client can call you inbound. The client, if they find your advertisement or they find your phone number, they can call you, and that's fair game. But you cannot get a list of seniors or people that are turning 65 and outright call them without them knowing who you are.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yes.
Huh. And we explain all this through... Like, we have documents we can provide our
agents. Oh, yeah. It's all in the training. When you become a Medicare agent and you join us, you're going to go through Medicare 101. You're going to go through compliance training with our senior compliance officer. And then also, you're going to do AHIP, which is America's Health Insurance Plans, that also goes over all the regulations and marketing guidelines, that the do's and don'ts of marketing Medicare Part C plans and Part D plans. And it'll definitely discuss the door knocking and the cold calling as don'ts.
Mm. Yes. Okay. Well, you know, as long as we explain it out to everybody, because it changes every year.
Absolutely.
And we
there are other ways aside from sending mail. You know, you can send personalized letters. You know, we have agents, and you yourself have a great marketing piece that. Being the local agent, a great agent like yourself.
We are recording this, right?
Marketing piece.
He said, "I have a great,
absolutely great marketing piece." Yeah, I'm not on his list anymore, but.
Oh, I wish we had a video to show him why.
But so you know, not just a business reply card, but personalized letter, letting people know, because we do have a tool called the T65 app that gives you. Based on your zip code, it'll give you kind of like a map, a radius. You can do up to, I think it's 25 miles, 50 miles from your zip code, and it'll tell you who is turning 65, but it'll only give you a name, address, and how far out they're turning 65.
It actually shows the most competitive plan in their area.
Oh, that's well. Right. Yep. On the MedSup side.
On the MedSup side. That's
right.
Correct.
So the lowest premium, I believe, right, on the Plan G.
On a Plan G.
Plan G. So that helps you kind of have a better conversation. Or when you're mailing to them, you can have a plan of attack. You know, you can talk about the MedSup. Oh, the lowest Plan G premium in our area is. And then I'm the local agent here that I've been, you know, Jeremy has over, 20 years of experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's credibility. He'll have his license number on there or his NPN. That way people can look him up on the Texas Department of Insurance mm-hmm. to show that he is a legitimate licensed insurance agent in the state of Texas. And then his phone number there to how they can reach him. And he's gotten pretty good responses from them.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, out of 100, close 30% close ratio. And I don't have like the opportunity to really work that the way it should be. We're talking about MedSups here. Right. Refresh my memory, Mikey, because our wonderful, amazing compliance officer is nowhere within earshot.
Right.
But can I door knock a MedSup?
Technically, you can.
That's just yes or no. That's a yes. So this is black and white of the Medicare world. So, you know, here's the thing. If I sent the letter out to somebody and I can say, hey, I never refer to somebody as Mr. or Mrs. Santos whatsoever. I am the paid professional. I might be paid by you, might be paid by the insurance carrier. Thing is, my word's law in your house. So, sorry for the attitude, but I take control of my clients like that. I'm going to do whatever they ask me to do.
Right.
Be it write them up or go jump in a lake. I'm going to do one of those two things that day. Okay. But I'm going to approach Mikey, Mr. Michael Santos, and like, hey, Mike, this is Jeremy. I just wanted to wish you a happy early 65th birthday. Congratulations. You've made it type of thing. I'm sure your mailbox is chock full of all the information on every plan saying, pick me, pick me.
That's right.
And while you do have a ton of options, there's only one that's right for you. I'd like to schedule some time with you to go over what's going to be the correct option for you based on your needs and your budget, whether it be Advantage, blah, 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 MedSups. I focus on MedSups, but I'm opening the door, and then a week and a half later, I might go knock on his door, just make sure he received my letter. And Mikey's right. It doesn't have my picture on there. I don't make good pictures. But it does have, I mean, old-fashioned at the very top, from the desk of Jeremy Johnson. I mean, people from back in those days are familiar with that because that was the original inner office memo. Might have had a stack of them on his desk, and I just used them like it was air. And I got in trouble for it. For using all of the stationery. But it also has at the bottom my license number, my phone number, it even shows my address on there. So people that live in Conroe may or may not be familiar with Monroe Court in Conroe 77302, especially if I'm marketing in my own neighborhood. I think I'm like, besides the kids that live there, I'm the youngest person in my neighborhood. It's an older, much older established neighborhood. It's built like the 60s and 70s. I think some of the early 80s it was built, and there's new construction since it flooded twice. But I mean, the core house, the median age is 70s and 80s.
Right.
So when I mail out to them, they're going to be familiar with Monroe Court.
Right.
There's a lot of people turning 65 in just my 5-6 mile radius. If I open up to a 15 mile, I was actually amazed at how many people there were. So once I get in and establish that relationship that I'm your neighbor,
right.
The T65 app is amazing. I'm your neighbor. I live less than a quarter mile away from you. I help put your neighbor's cows back in their fence. Okay. I mean, we all know the same people here. Then I've got your Medicare taken care of, plus your prescription plan or hospital indemnity plus final expense.
Right.
And then something new that we're getting into and setting up partnerships is retirement planning as well. 401k, the annuity rollovers. We are putting those in place as well to truly have from your first breath to your last breath, all of your insurance products taken care of. That was a mouthful.
That's awesome. Yeah. So mail, you know, we'll still use mail. From generic letters that talk about your turning 65 to personalized letters that I live in your neighborhood. I'm your local agent. I can help you. with this important decision that you need to make when you turn 65. And that's all local. That's mail, you know, mailing out, but also mailings on if you're doing events, you know, in the Medicare Advantage world, doing community events, whether it's educational, you're educating the public about Medicare and what is Medicare, that some of these folks, and which will be open to everybody, they're not, you know, you want to target people turning 65 or on Medicare, but you're going to have people that are younger that are probably caretakers of parents who are 65 or about to turn 65, or maybe it's caretakers with their grandparents that are already on Medicare and they need to learn because they just took on taking care of their grandparents, and they want to know what is Medicare and see how they can help. Like, is my grandparents on the right plan? I need to understand this. So you'll get all kinds of people from all walks of life coming to your events, and the educational, it's not a sales seminar, but it's educational that can also help generate leads. And then you promote it by mailing as well. And then you can do informal sales events where you are promoting a specific company, insurance company. Of course, it has to be reported to the carrier. You let them know, hey, I want to do this. The insurance company may want to help promote or market your event as well. And we'll do that as well, kind of a co-op kind of deal. And, you know, we use a lot of mail to promote that sales event as well. And you may have a carrier logo on there that some people are, hey, I'm familiar with this company. Or those that are still working, you know, a lot of these Medicare Advantage companies offer commercial under 65 group health insurance. Familiarity. Like your Aetnas, exactly, familiarity. Your Aetnas, your Cignas, your Blue Cross Blue Shields, your United Healthcares of the world, you know, those are big names. People know them because of their job. And, you know, this is my health insurance to work. And then, so, you know, they offer a Medicare plan. I want to learn more about that because I'm familiar with them.
Now, I do want to clarify, disclaim, and disclose that was Mike Santos that was dropping all those carrier names out there. In case they ever come back, you know, I'll bail him out. But you know, just so my record is clear. What's another couple? I mean, when we think about lead generation, when I first went independent from my, I'm not going to drop any names here, but my first carrier that I worked directly for, for the first 3 years of my career, when I went independent, I was like, okay, when the reality of the insurance, I was not brought up in an insurance agency. Mom and dad both had businesses back home inside Louisiana. One was a furniture store. The other one's a speech therapist, speech pathologist, had her own company. So growing up in the insurance business was brand new to me. I was just familiar with my dad's life insurance agent that would come through and said, I really want to get that new bed for me and the wife. And I said, okay, Mr. You know, insurance guy. I mean, I knew who he was because my dad had been trading business with him forever. But he kind of put the old South trade clause in. I really want to buy this set of bedding for me and the missus. Okay. But I need to sell a policy first. Okay, how much policy do you need to sell? I had no idea about it. Man sold me a $100,000 a GUL, Guaranteed Universal Life policy. I think it was with American General back in the day, and that was my first insurance. I still have the thing to this day. But, I mean, that's how I bought my first real piece of life insurance, because I wanted to sell furniture, you know, for my dad. And this guy was a good friend of the family. And then that's how it happened. So, you know, living in Texas, the place is so big, the greater Houston area. I've got, you know, friends and I really know family outside of my kids that live here. But I always hated the mindset or the mentality of having to sell to your local warm market. And I know that some IMOs or FMOs, that's their thing. You have to buy your first policy or you have to sell to 50 of your friends and family before we'll start allowing you to buy our leads. And I really do not like that mindset.
Yeah, some of the life guys are like, I was like, you have people you can sell to right now. Pull out your phone. Out of all the contacts in your cell phone, who do you think would be interested in buying life insurance today? And so that's kind of an old strategy, old tactic to kind of get you started in the industry. Is like, okay, let me go call my mom, let me call my sister, let me call my brother, let me call my best friend or my circle of friends that that you know who's doing pretty good or who's not doing good. It's like, well, he has a family. He just bought a house. Or, you know, he has assets that, hey, he needs to protect those. So, you know, these are different techniques and strategies that on the life side really, really kind of promote that to get you started. Yep. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? Because leads aren't cheap, as generally said. God, you know, no, it's a, you know, just because you buy one lead at $25, I mean, you're going to sell that lead. Yep. So, you know, it's an investment. And when you're out, when you're independent, and you have your independent agent, you have your own agency, you know, you got to spend money to make money and really invest in yourself to make it work. But you can't just call the lead once either. Right?
Oh my gosh. No, I can't. That's a whole horror story for another day.
Yes.
Of agents that have bought leads and got so upset saying nobody bought anything. And I say, you know, let's walk through this. Right. Or how about I'll buy the leads back from you. You paid $20 a lead. I give you, you know what? I'll give you $20 for a lead. You bought 20. Here's some money. You got, you know, just take it to the bank and cash. And you got PayPal, Zelle. I don't have Venmo. It costs too much.
Yeah.
Or what's the other one? Venmo.
Cash App.
Cash App.
PayPal.
Well, I got PayPal. Apple Pay. you know, but some of those do cost you money, other recipient money, other ones just free. Zelle is completely free.
Right.
So I prefer, here's $400, buy, or 800, whatever it was. And then turn around and out of those 20 leads, close 6 to 8 of them.
Yep.
Just by following a proven system of follow-up, these people aren't sitting around waiting for your phone call saying, Jeremy's about to call, Jeremy's about to call. Can I miss this call? Oh, thank God you called.
That's right.
I'm ready to buy right now. This plan I want. And if, you know, I need that plus $25,000 in final expense life insurance, you know, small, affordable, whole lot. I mean, they don't have the speech ready. You got to do some convincing and hanging up. One of our new vendors is saying the average touch is 7 to 20 touches before action is taken. That's a lot of touches, y'all. So leads are expensive. Is once explained to me that leads are like inventory. And I tell you, my dad taught me this because, again, growing up in a furniture store, what do you have to have in that furniture store to sell? What's the big word that I'm looking for?
Product.
Which is also known as?
Inventory.
There you go. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I was expecting at least 3 more.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right. So inventory. Absolutely. When you're an insurance broker, you got to have inventory to sell. That inventory, that is your lead buckets.
Right.
So we've gone over a couple of ways to generate those things, some that cost money, some that don't. Right. And I'm not saying by any means that if you're a brand new agent starting or struggling to find leads or don't want to put a lot of money into your lead generation. Again, he just said it. It takes money to make money. But there are, you know, I said approaching friends and family. I personally don't do that, and we will never make it a requirement that you have to go sell your mother-in-law and your sister-in-law X amount of policies, even if they're ex-sister-in-laws and mother-in-laws. We don't do that. That is low-hanging fruit, but there's a fine line. They know what you do, or they should know what you do, and if they're ready to take action, go for it. Unless you're that hardcore hunter-killer that's going to sell everybody that crosses their paths. You know, you can, you know, come across as a little Amway-ish here. MLM-ish going on here.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there are ways. But there are also other ways. Provider relationships
is
a big one. So I'm not good at speaking in public. Okay.
Yeah, but provider relationships for those who are not, the lingo, it's working with doctor's offices, clinics, providers. Any type of provider. Does it have to be a primary care physician?
No.
Maybe it's a specialist or maybe even a dental provider.
Yep.
Because a lot of these plans that we offer have dental coverage within them.
Sure.
And then we also have standalone dental plans that some of these dentists accept. And also your vision doctors, you know, your ophthalmologists, your optometrists, all that, they all accept insurance too. So, you know, there's different providers. When we mean providers, it's kind of a general term. To anyone that does healthcare services, from medical to dental to vision, even to hearing as well. So, and specialists. So, yeah, absolutely. Just wanted to kind of broaden that.
Absolutely. Audience. Doesn't have to be everything you just said. You got to hear most of it.
Yeah.
Hearing doctors. But I'm not good at speaking in front of people. I'm not good at cold calling. I think some of the most brilliant salespeople on the planet are door-to-door insurance salesmen, okay? And we all know the one with the duck, right? So, I mean, those guys are genius. And you talk about thick skin to walk into business after business after business after business to get three people out of 400 in that day.
Yeah.
I mean, the resiliency is pretty strong, but there are agents that are making a really healthy income with them, and a lot of them that are absolutely going broke. But they don't have a list to call from.
Right.
They just pull up to a shopping center and just start knocking on doors.
Yeah.
If I can reduce your employees' total health care costs, you know, whatever. I've never done it.
Yeah, it's more of a commercial sale, right? Group sale, supplemental health, you know, for small businesses that do not offer true traditional major medical coverage for their employees. This is another product that this is kind of how they go about generating leads, and they're going directly to businesses, and they're going from business to business. And I've kind of done that before on another product that we were promoting long time ago, one of our field agents in Houston, Texas, in the month of July, it's about 100 degrees, and we're wearing suits, and we're walking, and we're going, and we're sweating here and there. Remember this one place they went to? Well, hey, you guys want some water? I'm like, yes, please. So they saw how parched we look.
God.
But you know, hey, but there's people out there doing it, and like Jeremy said, they're doing a really good job, and they're making a really good living off of it. So
take a lesson from them.
Yep.
Go knock on some doors. You don't have to have that specific product, but if it gets you in front of multiple prospects and you don't have to pay a dime, that's like 100% profit.
Right.
A little gas money to get there.
Right.
Our bus fare. Provider groups. We're just saying you don't have to be good at orating or, you know, any type of public speaking to be a success with them, or no doctor. They've had agents, I don't know, the first doctor.
Right. Well, that's one thing, though, is people think you're not going to talk to the doctor when you go to the doctor's office.
Of course not.
You're talking to the office manager. He or she is the one that runs the show and will let the doctor know, hey, that's the gatekeeper who you're going to talk to and be dealing with, not the actual doctor. You just need to get to the doctor's office to present yourself and tell them how you can help them grow their panel.
Yep.
Or ask them what kind of need or help do they need to help, one, maintain their patients and also to grow their panel, which is their patient membership. Yeah.
So, and that's exactly right. You get introduced to the gatekeeper. That's where you're going to go. I mean, there's so many different ways to follow up with them. A lunch and learn is what I used to do. You can take them bags of I used to call it trail mix. Well, I still call it trail mix, but I used to make these trail mix bags and put my business card and hand them out to the staff because, you know what, they're human too. They get bored just like I do, and I get bored very easily. So while they're sitting there being bored, waiting for lunch, they're going to reach in, and there's your card. They're going to snack a little bit, and this guy's got a really nice business card, hoping they'll say I'm cute. But here's the thing. You don't even have to know a doctor's office to say it because we all, at some point, go to the doctor.
Right.
So you may not sit by side with one at church or the hunting stand or the camp or wherever, but when you go to the doctor, and if you haven't been to the doctor in 6 years, make the appointment. And go get your yearly checkup. And while you're in there, say, hey, I hope you can help me out. I really want to establish my relationship with you. I need a home for my health care. But I also, it's kind of twofold. I'll help you grow your panels here, help you increase your patient membership and retention rate. Because doctors are worried about retention rates just like we are.
Yep.
So there's multiple ways. And I think we will kind of cover a few more next time we get together before we get into a little something else. But, you know, the best idea is to take action.
Right.
You know, start somewhere. I think the Chinese, what's the name? The one with all the sayings?
Confucius.
Oh, Confucius. Okay. All right. We used to call him Confucius. Confucius used to say, the journey with one step, or with a million miles begins with one step.
Right.
I think that was him. Don't quote me, please, nobody. I think I saw that on
for all your complaints, please email Jeremy Johnson.
Yep, absolutely. But it's very true that you got to start somewhere to do that.
So, and of course, you know, we really hit on local and mail, you know, kind of old techniques and you know, going to places or providers. But on our next episode, we'll definitely talk about online marketing and how that can complement what you're doing with mail and with your events and everything as well. So thank you again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Everybody.
We'll
see you. I think today we are good. I'm ready to go out and go knock on some doors as well.
There you go.
Mostly the restaurant though. I'm hungry. So it's, you know, we haven't ate enough or eaten enough this week between what was Sunday?
Sunday was Super Bowl.
What else was Sunday?
Oh, your birthday.
Jeez, oh my gosh.
On the list.
On the list. Okay, I don't know. I'm done.
Stay tuned for how to market online and how to use the internet to help build your business. I'm Mike.
Jeremy Johnson, the Reverend Jeremy Johnson. Folks, remember to sell something every day and reach out if we can do anything for you.
That's right. Have a great day.
Bye, y'all.